Very pleased to be joined once again down the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline from FlamesNation.ca. It is Ryan Pike. Mr. Pike, the Flames were very inconsiderate by scheduling a media availability when we were supposed to be chatting yesterday. I'm only a little hurt you picked them over me, but happy we can do this today, sir. How are you?
I'm good. I missed our weekly visit, so I'm glad we're able to connect today.
Yeah, me too. It was it didn't feel like a Monday without you. So happy we can do it today. The news that you were busy with is that Jeff Ward is now officially the full-time, no tags attached coach of the Calgary Flames. The interim tag has been removed. Before we get into some of the specifics, I guess just your thoughts on the Flames making that announcement.
I mean, it makes a lot of sense. I mean, when you get to this juncture, you know, the Flames are at a very unique juncture in the sense that, you know, some of their core players are sort of still within their controllable years. They have a lot of really young, impressive, exciting pieces who potentially could take some steps. And I guess now we're into sort of the part of the team's development where these kind of situations and these kind of hirings make a difference. And I think the interesting thing is, you know, I wrote about this on the site this morning, just the idea of, you know, in 2016, Brad Treliving did a lot of interviewing. He talked to like pretty much anybody who was coaching related or coaching adjacent in the league because he wanted to get a sense of what he needs to do to move the group forward. And amongst the guys he talked to during that stretch was Jeff Ward. And, you know, he talked to Jeff Ward, quite a bit during the interview process. He got to know him a bit when they were both at the World Championships in Russia that year. Ward was coaching for the German team at that point, and Treliving was there as one of the executives for Team Canada. And they didn't hire him at that point, but in 2018, they brought him on as an associate coach, and then last year they promoted him. So if you're Brad Treliving and you've been GM for 6 or 7 years, for the Flames, you know you're probably not going to get to hire too many coaches. And if you're going to do it, you want to hire someone and bet on someone that you know pretty well. And I would argue that amongst, you know, any of the coaching hires made by any NHL executives right now, this is the guy that probably Treliving feels like he knows the most because he's seen him up close and personal on a daily basis, you know, as an associate coach, and you got a chance to sort of really experience him up close over, you know, a really challenging year as a head coach. And, you know, if you're going to bet on somebody, you want to bet on somebody you know and you trust. And I think there's a level of comfort and level of trust there now.
What did you make of what you saw from Jeff Ward? There was nothing normal about any part of Jeff Ward's tenure with the Flames in November. That entire situation was really, really tough and really, really strange. And I think specifically for him going into a head coaching job, but also a guy who you've been working aside, there was just a lot of layers to that one, we'll say. And then you have a delay and now they're in the playoffs and then no one's there. How do you assess the first 40 some odd games of Jeff Ward's time with the Flames?
I think that's a tough question because, you know, let's be honest, you know, when Bill Peters came in, Bill Peters got to build his coaching staff. So Bill Peters went out and went, okay, I want, you know, someone like Jeff Ward as an associate. I want Ryan Huska as an assistant coach. I want, you know, Jordan Siglett as an assistant. I want, you know, so basically, you know, Bill got to build his toolbox of things he thought he needed to make good decisions during games. And now, you know, Jeff got to basically inherit a system that was in place, and the Flames, you know, for various reasons, really, you know, they opted for stability. So, you know, the assistant coach they brought in to fill in Jeff's job was Ray Edwards, who was a developmental coach who basically knew everybody already. So there wasn't really much of a tinkering to do. So I think, you know, if nothing else, I'll say this. I think Jeff did a great job maintaining continuity. You know, he mucked around with the lines a bit, but stylistically, the Flames played very much the same kind of game as they did under Bill Peters before the pause. And after the pause, I would argue they played a little bit more buttoned up defensively, which was a nice adjustment that they made. So I think they did a pretty good job. I think the thing I'm really interested in seeing now is, okay, do the Flames make any other changes? And the one I'm expecting is I would suspect that Ray Edwards goes back to his developmental role. I believe his title is director of development. So he's basically, you know, the head honcho in terms of player development. So I think that's probably a job he goes back to. So okay, you know, presuming that they don't want to make wholesale coaching changes, you know, and blow up the whole staff, because Brad Schilling specifically is very complimentary towards the whole group in terms of how they all handle the really challenging year. So what do they need to add to their coaching staff to give them the best information and the best tools they need in order to maximize the group's potential? So that's going to be really interesting. But all told, I think Jeff did a really, you know, credible job as sort of, you know, maintaining continuity and keeping everyone's spirits up and keeping everyone, you know, cohesive during what was, you know, on many, many levels, a really tumultuous, challenging year for the group.
What kind of, you talk about them playing a bit more buttoned up coming out of the break and into the playoffs. Do you think that that's going to be, expanded on this upcoming season, now that Jeff Ward has a full actual off season and probably, we're assuming, a full training camp going into what is probably going to be a strange regular season? Like, is that the style you think that he's going to try to implement moving forward?
I think so, but I think that I think the fun thing to look at now is, you know, with, you know, they've basically had the same kind of core group for, you know, the last 4 or 5 seasons, but particularly, you know, since, you know, Elias Lindholm and Noah Hanson arrived, they've sort of had the same, you know, real core group in the last couple of seasons. So I think they, you know, they had 1 year where everything went right. You know, the October 2018 through, let's say, February or March 2019, I don't think there are very many teams that are A, better, or B, more successful at taking advantage of bounces in the Calgary Flames. And consequently, I thought, you know, they sort of, they got away from some things pretty much from March 2019 onward. So I think they're going to be very eyes open in terms of looking at, you know, the personnel they have, looking at what worked and what didn't. I think, you know, locking things down and figuring things out was kind of a cool way of doing it, because, you know, you're basically forcing, you know, teams to work around you instead of make you play their style of game. And I think, you know, when the Flames were effective, I think they were effective at sort of getting the forecheck going, scoring first, and then sort of making the other team, you know, swim through layers of traffic and, you know, really working hard to get to the high rent districts. And I think that's kind of the thing they worked on, because I think what they were challenged with, you know, under Bill Peters when it didn't work, was it was way too easy to get to the slot or get to the front of the net against the Calgary Flames. And I think during the postseason, I think they did a lot better job sort of making teams work to get to the front of the net. You know, Winnipeg was not very good at it. Winnipeg, you know, didn't get to the guts of the ice as often as they needed to, and so they lost. And I think, you know, what didn't work against Dallas more often than not was they sort of play from behind a bit too much, and Dallas was able to use their size and strength to get to the middle of the ice. So I think I don't think they're going to make, you know, a ton of changes stylistically, but the types of tweaks that they make are going to be kind of illustrative of what they think they don't have in the roster.
Looking at the players who are with the Calgary Flames right now, is there a guy or two that you think benefits from Jeff Ward coming back?
I would say probably Dylan Dubé and maybe Sam Bennett. I think those are the two guys I think took the biggest steps forward since the pause, because, you know, both of them had flashes of really effective play early on. But the fact is, you know, they both got to play really consistent, strong roles in the postseason. They're both really good. And they both got to play with Milan Lucic. And I think, you know, Milan Lucic has a long relationship with Jeff Ward, and he's a guy that he trusts. And I think getting to play with a guy that, you know, the coach really likes and the coach is going to work with, I think it's sort of a nice vote of confidence for those two young guys, especially with, you know, Sam Bennett, you know, heading into, you know, the year leading up to expansion. You know, we've all sort of, you know, on the air and off the air sort of mapped out on our whiteboards in our apartments. I'm sure I'm not the only one who has a whiteboard in their apartment about the expansion draft. But just the idea of, okay, well, what is Sam Bennett going to be around past, you know, next year when the Seattle Kraken came in? And I don't know. I don't think so. If the expansion draft is right now, I think Sam's probably the easiest guy for Seattle to take. But, okay, can he play his way onto the protected list? And if he plays his way onto it, who gets bumped off? And I think that's going to be, for a lot of people, you know, depending on what happens with other roster moves, that's going to be a huge storyline throughout the year, because the Flames are going to be exposing somebody who's really, really good. And right now it looks like it might be Sam Bennett, but what if it's not? What if Sam can, you know, become the player that everyone thought he could be when the Flames drafted him? So, you know, Dubé has always been a guy that the Flames have liked basically since they drafted him, and he's, you know, sort of come along more slowly, and he's had the benefit of playing in the American Hockey League and sort of rounding out his game so that by the time that Dubé stepped on the NHL ice, he's been sort of a fully formed player than Bennett was. But Bennett, I think, you know, if he can really, you know, engage the things that that Ward has seemed to have found in him, especially in the postseason, if Sam Bennett is playoff Sam Bennett for 40 games a year, or even 50 games a year, he's going to be a real special player. The question is, can Ward find a way to, you know, engage him and, you know, empower him the way he was in the playoffs? Because if he can, you know, as our mutual friend Peter Labardia says, watch out.
On the opposite end of that, are there a couple players that you think might be kind of oil and water with how they're playing compared to how Jeff Ward wants the team to play?
That's a good question. That's a good question. I think.
Thank you.
I don't want to say Gaudreau as a default, but, you know, traditionally, you know, before the postseason, the way that the coaching staff used the first line has been primarily, well, Gaudreau and Monahan are, you know, unique and special offensive players. So you stick them in the offensive zone against as many weak lines as possible and let them feast, because, you know, those are good players. And, you know, when you have someone who can create offense like that, you let them do it. You know, if you have someone who's great at painting, you let them paint. You don't try to make them do other things. And I think the challenge is Ward, at least based on how he used the players during the postseason, seems to want to be able to roll lines and just use guys in all situations. You know, everyone's got to be pulling on the same rope the same way at the same time. And let's be honest, Gaudreau is not, you know, he didn't get to the dance based on how he plays away from the puck. But I think there's some desire to sort of see Gaudreau and Monahan's line play a bit more in the defensive zone and break themselves out of tough defensive zone situations, because that way you can, you know, you can use the fourth line in different situations. You can use the third line in different situations. If you have a first line you can use in every situation, it makes life a lot easier. And I think if you look at sort of how, you know, traditionally Michael Backlund's line has been used. Michael Backlund, you know, coaches, you know, we always sort of use the phrase a coach's dream to describe a certain type of player. And I know, you know, sometimes fans sort of glaze over when we use phrases like that to explain what they mean. If you're a hockey coach and you put out Matthew Tkachuk, Michael Backlund, and, you know, for most of the season, it was Andrew Mangiapane on their wing, you wouldn't throw them out against any line in any situation, defensive zone, face off. You can just throw them out and just go throw out back on line, and they're going to be able to break themselves out of any situation, which allows you to give offensive zone high ground to your fourth line, your guys who need the help. And, you know, so that makes it, you can use them as like a Swiss Army knife, because they can do anything you need them to. But if you're a coach and you can only use, you know, say, the Gaudreau line in the offensive zone, it handcuffs you in terms of how you can use your bench. And I think based on how we saw them used in the playoffs, I think there's a desire from the coaching staff to sort of break those handcuffs and use guys in all kinds of different situations. So if you're, you know, someone like Gaudreau or Monahan, or to a certain extent Elias Lindholm, maybe you're thinking, okay, I got to work my game against, you know, away from the puck, because if not, you're going to be spending a lot of time in the D zone and trying to, you know, dig yourself out of it.
What's next on the Flames checklist? There's a few things that probably need to be addressed throughout the offseason, but is goaltending the next highest one, do you think, in their priority rankings?
I would wager that the two things that are the most important things in the Flames to-do list right now are figuring out what you're going to do with Cam Talbot and figure out what you're going to do with TJ Brody, because those are the guys, I think, who were the most relied upon in the postseason and in the later half of the regular season that aren't locked up. Most of the other important pieces are locked up. Andrew Mangiapane is a pending RFA, but, you know, the Flames are going to retain his rights, so he's going to get a raise, but, you know, he doesn't have the track record or the you know, arguably the financial demands of a Cam Talbot or a TJ Brody. I mean, Cam Talbot played the most important games of the season down the stretch, and TJ Brodie played on the first line with a really good defensive partner in Mark Giordano, but he played against the best players in the league in high leverage situations and largely performed pretty well. So I think the big question is, can the Flames afford TJ Brodie, or is TJ Brodie willing to take a little bit less than free agent market value in order to stay in a situation where he seems to be pretty happy and pretty effective? I mean, we just saw today, Jonas Brodin signed a very nice contract for a 27-year-old. I believe his AAV is about six and change. I can't do that kind of math in my head because, I've reached an age where math is no longer my strong suit. $6 million AAV via Twitter. So if you're TJ Brodie, you're 3 years older than Jonas Brodin. Jonas Brodin's contract takes him through the absolute guts of the season, the most productive years he's going to have. And, Brodin is being paid as much for what he's going to be as much as what he is right now. Whereas with Brody's 30. He's arguably got less tread on the tires left than Brodin does. So you're probably going to be paying Brodie similar or less, maybe slightly less money at the same rate. So I think that's going to be a really interesting question going forward in terms of, do the Flames want to invest in Brodie? Do they want to say whatever and then just, Rasmus Anderson becomes a top pairing defenseman, but then your second pairing is going to get a lot less experienced, or you're going to have to go outside of your group and bring out a free agent. And, much like with one of the things I think really appealed to the Flames with Jeff Ward is they know how Jeff Ward's going to interact with a group and they know how he's going to fit. And I think that was one of the big things they looked for in a head coach in terms of, they don't have to worry about how's Ward going to adjust to being a head coach because they've seen it. Whereas, TJ Brodie, you could go out and you could go get go free agent hunting and bring in a guy that you don't know, or potentially you can invest that money in TJ Brodie and keep a guy around town that and you like and you think you can work with and, you can work around whatever wrinkles he has in his game. So I think that's the kind of approach that's going to be very interesting the next, two, 3 weeks before free agency opens, because, either we're going to hear some announcements, the week before free agency, the Flames have, re-up Cam Talbot and re-up TJ Brodie, or we're going to be seeing some fairly significant changes in those positions.
Pike, awesome stuff, man. Always enjoy chatting with you. The Flames seem to be giving us news right at the right time for these conversations. Hopefully we have more of it next week.
Yeah, take care, buddy.
You too. There is Ryan Pike from FlamesNation.ca.